1027 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, it seemed like another day, another wild swing in the markets as we went full risk off today. The Rand really blowing out, 16 Rand 23 to the dollar. And the breaking news geopolitically is that NATO has formally invited Finland and Sweden to join the alliance. So it turns out that Vladimir Putin, probably not quite the strategic mastermind that we've been led to believe that he is. Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, has your market view. Wayne, I want to start off with a very interesting suggestion that's come across my desk to give Eskom some headroom in terms of load shedding, and that is to mothball the Alusaf aluminium refineries of South 32. It will give us roughly 1,700 megawatts. What do you make of the idea?
I think it's a great idea, but it's been around for a very, very long time. It's been around since load shedding started. So just some background. In the 80s, South Africa had excess electricity, and Eskom was desperate to find someone to take the electricity from them. So they went into a partnership with the previous owners that South 32 was bundled out of BHP. And BHP said, sure, no problem. The price of electricity is tied to the aluminium price. So the price that they pay has got nothing to do with the tariff that charges. It is simply based on the current world global price of aluminium. So Eskom is indirectly in the aluminium business. So yeah, if aluminium price is low, they get the electricity cheap. If the aluminium price is high, they pay more for it, but they still make the same margin. So this story has been around for a very long time. Just pay them to close it for 2 years. Give Eskom breathing space. Yeah. Limit our load shedding to stage two maximum. And then we all go, you know, everything's fine. Now, the amount of aluminium, the amount of electricity that's consumed by that is enormous. I mean, it is truly, they are one of the biggest single users of electricity in the country, if not the biggest.
Yeah, and what we're effectively doing is running diesel generators to power these. I can't believe any smelter in the world is running off diesel at the moment.
No, but you must remember, they're not paying the diesel. We're paying for
it. Exactly, but that's why I'm saying.
You and I are paying. Yeah, exactly, yeah. That, yes.
Yeah, the economic
because
cost.
Because they could have uninterrupted power, because otherwise the aluminium sets in their pots that they melted in.
Yeah.
They can't have power cuts because that stuff solidifies in there, and then they got huge trouble. But yes, I mean, the other idea is put us on permanent stage one or permanent stage two so that we know it's going to happen. We plan around it. We prepare for it. We start work an hour later that day or an hour earlier. As long as you know what's going to happen and it's set, you can make a plan around it so that Eskom can fill up the diesel tanks and fill up the dams so that when we get catastrophes like we're having now, they've got reserves. So I don't know why no one's thought of that idea either, because if you're out of electricity, if you're out for an hour a day and you know when it is, you can change your lunchtime, you can change your factory schedule, you can change when your employees come to work. If you can, you won't travel through the center of Joburg at that time. If you know when it's going to happen, you can plan around it. It's this uncertainty. Is it tomorrow or the next day? Is it stage two or stage six?
I don't even know why we've got one, three, and five. It's just odd that we never go to the odd numbers. But I couldn't agree with you more. We need the certainty to be able to plan, and we need to think out the box. And this idea around mothballing Alusaf has been around for some time. It's now time for us to act on it, though. Yes, there will be some job losses directly related to it, but the broader net benefit to the economy and small businesses that won't be forced to shutter their doors, I think it's incalculably in the favor of mothballing Alusaf at the moment.
Correct.
Talk to me about the recent pre-close update that we saw from Hyprop. It's looking quite good. It's reducing its LTV. It's made some disposal, really taking back a bit of control.
Yes, because up until 4 or 5 years ago, these property companies were of the best performing on the JSE, and most of them were trading above net asset value, and they geared up the balance sheet, and all of a sudden we get the virus lockdowns and the whole environment turns negative on property. And of course, then their property values go down, but the debt doesn't go down until you sell something and pay it back. So they were all squeezed on debt. But yes, it does look a lot better. I mean, office vacancies are terrible. I mean, we all know that they're anywhere between 18 and 25%, but the retail side seems quite good, and certainly the industrial side's doing extremely well. Yeah, well, I mean, high props all over the place, Eastern Europe, Sub-Saharan Africa, all over the place. But it doesn't look bad. And the market pushed the shares up a little bit today, you know, about 2% in a negative day. That's not bad. But you must remember these shares are still, you know, 50% off their peaks, if not more.
Yeah, certainly a lot of value. I mean, if you look at the retail vacancies, down to 1.4%, while footfall is up 8.6%, these shares, these property REITs are still priced for the COVID period.
Catastrophe.
And we've moved on. So it'll be interesting to see when we see a re-rating.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, High Prop was one of the top flyers, and that is down 70% over the last 5 years.
It's got to be looking really attractive right now.
It's got to, yes.
The JSE out with an update saying that it expects earnings to be markedly higher. Really good performance this, between 24 and 32% higher. Overall, if you look at the JSE and you benchmark it against other exchanges around the world, we did this exercise with Dave Holland. It's got the lowest cash flow return on investment, the lowest price to book, the worst relative performance, and the highest dividend yield amongst a peer group. And it's not really a function of the JSE. It's a function of what's going on in the South African economy.
Correct. I mean, and the JSE, you know, as we globalize, the JSE as a world stock market percentage is just shrinking. And unfortunately, it's going to continue doing that as more and more essentially wealth is capitalized outside of the country by companies. And even though they're dual listed here, the moment you've got a listing in London or New York, all the trade happens there. Even South African trade, even if a South African institution trades, the trade could very easily be in London because that's where their liquidity is.
Yeah.
So, yes, unfortunately, they've got a very, very tough task ahead of them. But, you know, the market's at a seven dividend yield, which is, you know, still quite attractive, and they seem to generate cash flow.
Yeah, well, and given that there are not many other alternatives, I think still a decent option for one's portfolio. Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at FNB Wealth and Investments, with your Wednesday view here on Hot Business.
Hot 1027 Business with Michael Avery.